de kick it.
Legit sad. This loss.
Yeah, tonight was depressing.
Welcome to the TOT podcast, Tip of the Town, where we're sad, depressed, lonely, on this Friday night.
You want me to put some cheeriness into this? You know how we have our Raptors future bet to win the East? That's pretty much a tire fire. It's
why
done.
Did you just tell me? Why do you remind me? It's 3-0.
Well,
you know, it's a write-off.
You can save 10% or less than switching to car insurance to Geico? Hold on a second. I've been hedging hard. I've been, like, hemorrhaging money on the Cavs, spread, halftime, you name it. So these blowouts, I've more than made our futures bet back.
I see.
So that's the only bright side of that. Now, the downside of that is it comes at our own misery.
At the Raptors' expense, man.
What is going on? Where do you want to start? I mean, there's different ways to start. At the end of the day, they're still down 3-0, but there's some things we can kind of weave through here.
Okay. Just hit open threes, dog. Like, pretty much, I would say 75% of the threes that they had were just open. And, you know, I wrote in my piece that went up today, it was just like, they just don't have... Okay, look at the Cavs, where, like, Channing Frye and Kyle Korver are on their team, right? And anytime they shoot the ball, you're like, it's going in. You know, they're open. When they're open, you can openly hear the crowd groan when Kyle Korver or Channing Frye gets the ball while they're open. The Raptors don't have anybody that's like that. And they're paying dearly for it. I think they're only going to hit, two threes? Three threes today? No. But I don't expect them to be hitting, like, 10 in the game.
The perimeter is actually depressing to look at because look, I'm not saying the Raptors are full of sharpshooters by any means. I mean, we saw it the first half of this season. Terrence Ross and Kyle Lowry made up, I want to say, half, if not more than half of this team's threes. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I wasn't expecting this. This isn't even D-League level.
Yeah, this is it's atrocious, man. It's just... there's no way to fix it at this point, because the only way to fix it is just making them. And over the past three games, they've not been able to make them. And that's it.
I know the adage, it's a make-or-miss league. It's a cliche. You hear it time and time again every postseason. And you also hear how the talent generally rises to the top in the postseason.
I don't think these guys
are wide open.
I don't think it's a cliche. It's like, you know...
Well, it's basketball in a nutshell, right? Down to the very fundamentals...
Yeah,
that's
like,
what it is.
If you go 2 of 18 from range, like, you're going to lose. Like, I can't even... Can you even name me a team that would, like... Maybe the Grizzlies, but the Grizzlies shoot threes now. Like, there's no team that you can just go 2 of 18 from three and win.
None. On top of that, when you're not even rebounding that well... Dude, if you can't rebound well, you can't shoot from... Not even from the perimeter. Like, look how many of the Raptors' points tonight were from the restricted area.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not the 90s. It's not the 80s. You can't win like that.
Yeah. And one of the problems were, like, Norman Powell could not buy a foul call at all. Like, you know, those points in the restricted area, those could have been free throws for him, but, like, the refs are just not calling it. There was even that, like, foul by Kyle Korver that was supposedly just a ball out that they didn't call. That was pretty obvious. And then there were just a bunch of others in the paint where he just could not get a foul call at all. And suffered for it, man. I mean,
that was to be expected, though. I don't think anybody was surprised that Norman Powell didn't get the foul calls. Some of them were blatantly obvious.
Yes,
wrong.
Yes.
I've been banging this drum at will. But this is no secret of the NBA, especially in the postseason. This is how it works. I just stopped fighting it. I've accepted it. So, no surprise. Here's what's really surprising for me.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs played with what? Scale of 1 to 10 for intensity tonight. I'll put it at a 2, maybe.
It was like
3.
It was like they were so flat today, man. There was no time where I was like, oh man, they're just like killing us until the fourth quarter. It was just like, you know, they're going along. The Raptors are like, the Raptors couldn't hit a 3. If the Raptors could have hit 3s this game, they would have blown them out. They would have blown out the Cavs. They would have killed the Cavs.
Yeah, they would have housed them hard.
Like, if they shot just like. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, they just shot 33%. I don't know. I'm about to bust out the calculator here. It's like, what? But if they just shot, like, an average percentage, which is about, what, I think it's 35 or 36% from three, they would have destroyed the Cavs in this game. Right? They, yeah. They lost by, what, like, 17? Or, well, they lost by 17 in the competitive portion of the game, and it went down to 21. Like, all they have to do is hit, like, a couple of threes. That's five threes. Five threes to at least bring you back to 15. You're within striking distance. And if you, and they were wide open, bro. These were more than, like, these were, like, better than 50% chance three-point shots, and they're just missing them.
They're shots you should make every time, to be honest.
Yeah.
In the postseason, regular season, look, if you don't make them, that's cool. I get that everybody's their off nights in an 82-game schedule. But in the postseason, you can't miss these, or you're where the Raptors are right now. For me, what was also surprising about the Cavaliers, on top of their lack of effort, which I don't think was any more apparent than when LeBron James covered DeRozan for, I want to say, maybe two series in a row. And then he kind of looked at JR and Shumpert and said, you guys take him, man. It's light. Like, that was the most disrespectful Raptors-ish thing I've seen this series, which is very frustrating. But the Cavs only had 15 assists tonight. For a team that whips the ball around and has made a ton of threes off of assists, 15? And when we lost by 21?
You seen those LeBron, like, spin left-handed floaters in the lane?
He was just trying new things.
You know, like, three-point shots over Serge Ibaka? Like, it's ridiculous.
You know what? LeBron didn't need to take a vacation this year. He didn't take it because he's taking it right now.
Yeah.
He's in what he likes to call chill mode.
Chill mode.
Remember he used to call that all the time? He'd bring up chill mode? He's in full-blown chill mode now.
The thing is, for him, like, the minutes, I remember that minutes thing was becoming, like, a huge issue for him during the regular season, where he was playing, like, an absurd amount of minutes, but in the playoffs, they just, like, sweep your opponents, you rest for a week, right?
Yeah, and here's the best part about this is LeBron's dropping 30-plus every game, 35 tonight, mm-hmm. and he's casually dropping these.
Cause people are going, casual 30, dude.
Yeah, it's like... and then they're trying to hack him. He's 15 or 16 from the line again tonight.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just like, it was almost a triple-double today. He basically averaged, it was like, 35, 8, and 7 steal.
He put a triple-double at, like, man, this is like if you listen to, like, your podcast and you put on half speed. It's really slow and you're like, oh my god. That's how LeBron's playing tonight. I feel like the Raptors were a nuisance to him. He probably has reservations for, what, 10:30? He's like, wait, let's get this shit done.
Him and Drake, like, that's probably, what I felt like. Him and Drake are probably going to go hang out after. That's what the reservation's for.
Drake's probably telling me no. So I'm a free agent this year. Cleveland's not very nice. But you know, we could do a playoff thing, set it up, you know.
He showed up, which was amazing. Can you believe that? Drake was at the game.
Yeah. Honestly, man, I want to be excited about this. I genuinely do. But considering the way the rest of the game played out, it got sucked right out of me. We'll have, like, a Chronicles of Drake podcast, like we keep saying, when the season's over.
When the season's over.
But tonight, I was amped when he first showed up. I was like, yo!
Yeah.
He's alive!
He's alive. And now he actually, it's like, he actually knows the Raptors exist, for once.
I mean, I had a little theory about why he was never here, you know? And, I mean, it's kind of null and void now, but... his house wasn't finished. So maybe Drake had nowhere to live in Toronto. That's why he couldn't come back here. You know? Just a side thought. Because I don't have any other reasons why Drake couldn't come to any Raptors games.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't have a friend where he can just, like, crash at for a day.
Well, Drake's too good for that.
Yeah, is he just too good for that now where he can't crash at somebody else's house? Like, 10 years ago he was probably doing that all the time. Oh man, this hurts. This loss honestly hurts me.
It was just demoralizing because these were all the moves that were kind of put in place to beat the Cavs. And now you got to wonder if you're Masai Ujiri. It's human nature to be questioning yourself and going, did I miscalculate?
I don't see any miscalculation, man. It's just hit the three. Because it's so stupid how simplistic it comes out to. It's like, bro, just if you hit the threes, we'd have been in this game. And, like, that's every game so far in this series. It's like, if we just hit threes, we'd be in this game, or be in the series. That could probably be 2-1. It could be 2-1 either way if they were hitting threes. And they just don't. Like, they just don't. If I'm Masai Ujiri, I think my calculus in the offseason, if I'm going to try and keep together this team in any way, is, like, I just need snipers from deep. Like, I need just excellent three-point shooters.
Well, here's the problem with trying to do that, because I wholeheartedly agree. You gotta let some guys walk.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ideal free agent would be like a J.J. Redick type dude. I don't see him coming here. I see him going to a bona fide contender, but that's a whole other offseason topic. But the point of it is, though, those guys don't come cheap. Even like a Tony Snell is going to get 10 to maybe as high as 15 mil. I mean, we saw Damari Carroll fetch 15 mil, so mm-hmm. not to rule that out. But that tells you what the market is for these 3 and D guys that are legit 35 to 40% on a season-to-season basis.
Right. They don't even need 3 and D. Like, the only bad defensive player on the team right now is DeMar DeRozan. That's it. I mean, JV as well.
If people have learned anything from the NBA this year and watching it transition from this three-centric shoot from nearly half court sometimes, like, the heat check is no longer a real thing, because the heat check better be from, like, the logo.
Yeah, the heat check is from the logo. Like,
the heat check is dead.
If you're around the arc, it's supposed to go in.
Yeah. Right?
Like, regardless if like, you shot, if you're 7 of 8, 9 of 10, if you're 3 of 8, like, if you're near the line, it's supposed to go in.
Yeah. If there's anything they've learned through watching all this, though, defense isn't necessarily as important as it once was. You look at teams like the Warriors, yes, they can put the clamps whenever they need to. But look at the Rockets. Look at the Cavs, for example.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a lot different now. They can outscore you, and little things that we've seen the Cavs do and the Rockets at times against the Spurs, hard trap, double team, you know, basically force them to pass the ball to the weak link, make a shot, or just you're essentially gambling, but it's a new wave of defense that we're seeing now, and it's working.
Yeah. I mean, it's like gambling, but you're playing the percentages. You're just like, well, their best player, obviously, is the most efficient player on their team, so... When DeLon Wright has to, like, line up a shot from the top of the arc, you're like, okay, well, I'll live with that. Like, it's like DeMar DeRozan mid-ranger, DeLon Wright three-pointer. DeLon Wright three-pointer sounds more appetizing to me.
Yeah, it sounds really simplistic, but that's genuinely what it is now.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And the game has become, I wouldn't say it's distilled, but it's become refined to a point where the percentage is, like, the game was played... And then it revealed the percentages of shots and, like, where it's better to take shots on the floor, who's better at shots in specific areas. And it's come to a point where, like, every person has, like, a refined specific role, right? And if you have to do something outside of your specific role, then that's a win for the defense or for the other team in general. So, like, when DeMar DeRozan can't get to the rim and he has to pass the ball to P.J. Tucker at the top of the arc, In fact, P.J. Tucker having the ball, that's a win for the defense. Like, if he can't shoot, because he's not, like, a shooter in any way, right? He's not going to, like, scorch you on the pick and roll or anything like that. So him having the ball, they're like, yes, we wanted that. Do whatever you want. Shoot it. You know?
Exactly. That's, like, legitimately perfect summary of all that. The other thing I find interesting, though, if you want to go into, like, the analytics and heat maps and shot selection, all that,
mm-hmm.
corner threes has become all the rage in the NBA because it's closer three. It's easier because you're dead on. The Raptors can't make any of them. I haven't checked the numbers from tonight's game. They can't make a single corner three.
Bro. They made one corner three off of Corey Joseph in the right corner. I think that's
only one tonight? Because I got to go back and check. Yeah, I haven't looked at the statistics third. Yet.
That's the only one I can remember. Him and Norman Powell. No, I'm tripping. So it's bad. Like Corey Joseph didn't even make a three. It was P.J. Tucker. I don't know, man.
Like, either way, it's still bad. But to give you an idea of how bad it's been and how much of a difference has been in this series... The Cavs have made 10 of 18 three-point attempts from the corners. The Raptors, 2 of 18. That's prior to tonight's game, but I would imagine those numbers look even more disgusting when you look at tonight's box score and add it in.
The only three-pointer I remember is the Norman Powell in the corner, in the right corner. That's it. So everything else
I don't remember many.
Everything else is, you know, that's just a loss. Just take a loss on that. Ah, man. Man, it's
Who's been the most disappointing Raptor for you?
The most disappointing?
I think there's an easy
Serge
answer.
Ibaka. So it's Serge Ibaka is the most really? easily. I mean, I'm watching his shot selection in this game, and it was just atrocious, bro. Like, what is he
doing? LOL. That's all I gotta say to his shot selection.
First of all, why are they ever going to him in the post? That doesn't make any sense. And then second of all, why is he taking turnaround mid-rangers in the post? I've never really like it.
Well, you don't like his one leg fadeaways off balance?
He's doing it in the regular season. And I was like, man, I can't believe they're going to him in the post and he's shooting these fadeaways. It looks so weird, even though it goes in, right? And now it's the playoffs. Like, he's taking them and they look weird and they never go in. And I'm just like, this is why he never took those shots in Oklahoma City. So Serge Ibaka, and then like the easy answer, the easiest answer is probably Patrick Patterson.
100% without question. It's too easy to pick on him. Way too easy. He didn't even attempt a shot tonight in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is mentally fucked right now, to put it bluntly.
20 minutes and zero shot attempts. Wow.
No, one board and one assist. That's it. Come on, man. That's not Patrick Patterson.
And then
I don't know who this is. This is somebody like, man, sleeping under the Gardener. They just woke up like, hey, you want to play tonight? Like, that's literally what this guy is.
Yeah. And then Damari Carroll, you know, I just don't even know what he is at this point. Like, he kind of reminds me of Matt Barnes on the Clippers, like when Matt Barnes was on the Clippers.
That's a good call.
Like, he is kind of like, you know, kind of a three-point shooter, kind of a defender, but not really. You know, he's kind of just like masking over that position. He's not like
the reason why I say this. I wouldn't say he's like a negative. You're saying there's potential.
They were both. I mean, Matt Barnes is like 35 now. He was like 31, 32 then. So, yeah. I mean, watch a lot of basketball. So, Damari Carroll is just like a meh. He's just so meh. Like, the worst kind of meh, too. It's just like, you see him on the floor, he doesn't really do much. And he's only played 4 minutes in this game, and he's, like, his minutes constantly getting decreased. Like, I don't even understand why he's... They might as well trade him, to be honest. Like,
you won't get anything for him right now.
Like, Norman Powell, and I wrote this in my notes, I'm like, does Norman Powell just make Damari Carroll obsolete?
Yes.
Because he just does the same thing better. Everything better. Literally everything better. Right? And he even has that element of shot creation that Damari thinks he has when he's driving to the basket, and then like he loses the handle like every single time. And he's just like 2-3 inches shorter, man. He even played well against LeBron today. Like, decently. He played pretty decent against LeBron today. So I don't know.
Considering the size discrepancy and strength discrepancy, dude, I think he played outstanding.
Yeah, so I just... Damari Carroll's just like, whatever, dude. I can live without him.
I'm with you on that. I mean, was Norm trying to do too much at times tonight? Maybe forcing up a couple threes and shots in the lane? Yes, but consider the circumstances. There's no Kyle Lowry. He kind of became the de facto number two, not by choice. Like, yeah. It's just the way it worked tonight.
That always happens to him, by the way. That's how he gets
into the start. Always.
Like, even in the regular season when DeMar DeRozan got injured, it's like, all right, Kyle Lowry or Norman Powell, you're the number two now. I mean, it's always happened to him, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I got three questions for you after.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Number one, what are your thoughts on PJ Tucker? I'm kind of on the fence with how he's played. I think he's frustrated beyond belief because the guy's such a competitor, but I don't know. I just feel like there's something off there, and you can read a lot. He's not a guy that hides his emotions. You can see his body language, and I think he speaks volumes about what's going on in that Raptors locker room.
Is it me, or is he the person that cares, like, the absolute most?
That's why I think you could read a lot off of him.
Right, when I'm watching him, like... first of all, remember when they lost the first game to the Bucks, and they went into the locker room, and, like, the guys were, like... They weren't cheery, but they weren't down. They were just like, we lose the first game every time. You know, it's like, just, you know, it always happens. And he was, like, in the locker room. He's, like, you know, distraught. He's like, this is weird, dude. Nobody should be happy or anything. Like, we just lost the first game in the playoffs. Like, this is awful. I don't get why everybody is so, like, normalized to this. And I'm watching him in this series. Like, he's taking, basically, like, it's like a personal effect to the game. Like, everything he's doing is, like, personally putting, like, 110% into it. And you see him on the bench, like, he just looks like his dog just died or something. Or maybe not even that. It looks like, you know, somebody set his house on fire. Like, he looks pissed on the bench. So, I love him, man. I think he's playing well. He hit a three today. If you hit a three today, you're in my good book. So, Norman Powell, PJ Tucker, that's it. Those are the only people that are in my good books today.
For me, with PJ Tucker, I've watched this guy play since high school. All the way to Texas, where he was a beast under Rick Barnes. He's a ferocious competitor all the time, and he does not like having soft players around him.
Right.
And I think he views a lot of players in the Raptors as a soft mentality. Like, I think some guys in there are like, yeah, you know, I mean, look what LeBron's doing. Like, it's hard to beat the Cavs when they play this well. Like, mm-hmm. not to read too much into DeMar DeRozan's comments about, I'll give you $100 if you know how to stop LeBron James. But I think that kind of stuff absolutely pisses PJ Tucker off to the extreme. So I think he's kind of frustrated with his team might be a little bit soft.
Yeah, I mean, I would be too, especially if I was in his position where, like, he bounced around the league, he was in Phoenix, and he finally comes to a playoff team, and he's like, it's time to do some work, you know? Like, he's been putting in all this work his entire career. He's finally on a team that would vindicate all the work that he's been doing, and they're just not. And if
they're mentally soft.
Right, and if I was that, I would be, like, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, I'm doing... Like, he's basically, like, he's not the garbage man, but he's the utilitarian on the team, man. He's doing all the grind. Like, he's a grinder, you know, just like in hockey. He's just a grinder.
And, yeah, to a T.
Right? So somebody needs to score the goals. And if you're grinding for nothing, you lose, like, 0-3 in all of your hockey games. You're just gonna be like, fuck it, man, I'm not going to do anything. like, it doesn't...
Like, it's true, point? Though. It's true.
It's like, what's the point, man? I'm not going to grind for... Grind for what? Dust? Right? I'm grinding. Like, if you want to grind, you're grinding for the Stanley Cup. Not for dust. Not for just, like, you know, ice pellets. It doesn't make any sense. So that's why he's pissed. I'd be pissed too. I'm upset. If I wasn't so sad, I'd be upset.
I share the same sentiment with him. Segueing into another grinder, though. This is question number two for you. Dwayne Casey, fan base, no matter who you talk to right now. Fire Casey is really? All I'm hearing from everybody left, right, and center.
Really? What is he supposed to do?
But what That's is why I keep saying to everybody. Between the text messages I'm getting and group chats and stuff, people are going off about fire Casey, fire Casey. I go, what the hell do you guys want him to do?
Yeah, I don't see any... there's nothing he could do in this situation. Like, people just need to hit shots. I mean, what did the Raptors faithful tell you, man? What does John tell you, John?
Hold on a second. You know, we'll do a live Q&A right here. John, should the Raptors fire Dwayne Casey?
I think so.
You see? One
why?
Right there.
Why, though?
Come over here. My buddy John here. He's going to come on and tell us why we should fire Dwayne Casey. This is our Raptors casualist at the moment.
They're Raptors faithful.
Great to be here. Long-time listener. I think we should fire Casey just because I feel like the message is wearing thin in the locker room. It's not working anymore. You can see it on the players' faces. He's yelling. He's shouting. I love his energy. I think he's a really good coach, but I'm not seeing the response from the players on the floor. And at that point, you got to make the change.
That's more thought out than anybody else I've gotten from tonight. Yeah. Everybody else tonight is like, you fire him because the Raptors are shit and they're losing to everybody. I go, okay, sure. You know, like, what do I do? Do I R-bomb that conversation?
Yeah, there's no replies. I don't know. So, yeah, I can understand that. That's an issue if you're an authoritarian type of coach, you know, and especially if you're not. But they've been progressing, which is that's the thing. I mean, this is like one of their first setbacks other than the Wizards series. I guess if people are just yelling,
this is bigger than a setback, DeMar. 2 for 18 from three. That's bigger than a setback.
But how's that on him though?
The roster needs to be reconstructed for sure, but I just don't think he's the right man to be in charge. And I'm personally a firm believer in longevity, time, and letting things mature organically. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it can happen here anymore.
Okay.
Damn.
Those are harsh words from the faithful, the Raptors faithful, man. Calling for Dwayne Casey's head. It's pretty sad.
It is. I mean, a lot of people, like, the problem is they don't know who to replace him with, but... There's a few options, and I know the obvious is Jerry Stackhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Man, a lot of that is contingent on who they bring back on this roster for next season. Because you're going to obviously bring – the coach is going to be married to if they sign Kyle Lowry. If they re-sign Kyle Lowry to a max deal, that coach is married to him. Man. And right now, Dwayne Casey and him, you know, they go hand in hand.
It's been tenuous. So, it's been tenuous.
Yeah.
You know, throughout the series. Mr. Throughout John, the season.
Thank you. Thank you for your debut. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
All right.
But yeah,
that leads to the final question, though, DeMar, is Kyle Lowry, what do you do? That was the other thing. I got a lot of texts and comments from people tonight about how this guy, you can't bring him back. He's always hurt. Even when he plays, you know, how effective is he? There's always something with him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it goes to the same question as Dwayne Casey. If you let Kyle Lowry go, Okay. Question mark?
Okay.
Massive question mark.
Well, from what I've seen with Norman Powell, Corey Joseph, you know, DeLon Wright, etc. I mean, I've been the advocate for, like, not blowing it up, but just, like, going with the youth movement, which is technically blowing it up, but whatever. I've been an advocate for that for the past, I think, the past 2 years, at least this year, for sure this year, at the beginning of this year, I've been wanting to do that. But if you don't re-sign Kyle Lowry, then it just makes sense to do the youth movement thing, you know. You lose Serge Ibaka. The only thing that really hurts about it is losing Serge Ibaka because you traded a pick away to get him. But other than that, just, you know, Jonas, you keep Jonas on the squad. You know, Corey Joe, Norman Powell, Pirtle, Jakob, Bruno, DeLon Wright. You know, there are young pieces on the team. It's just, you know.
It's if you're willing to go through those growing pains.
Yeah.
That's the other side.
Yeah.
That would be painful, especially for a guy like DeMar DeRozan. He signed here long term with the mindset that this team is trying to compete.
Right. Yep.
Not saying I feel bad for him, but I think that's also a sign of where the Raptors' mentality is at.
Yeah. Well,
this team, I don't think, is looking to rebuild.
Hey, man, you got to be better than LeBron. There's going to be a smooth move by Masai Ujiri or something to make this team transcendent, because it's a really good regular season team, decent postseason team, sort of. Yeah,
I mean, I have some ideas.
Yeah, hit me.
I'll hit you with a few before we go.
Okay,
bring back Lowry, let Ibaka walk,
whoa,
let Patterson walk.
Whoa,
so who bring plays back power Tucker? Forward? You bring back Tucker, you go try and get Wilson Chandler,
the mystical Wilson Chandler.
Yeah, I know. I know, like, a lot of these things are based around what-if scenarios and acquiring this guy. And it's tough to acquire those guys without capital,
mm-hmm,
because capital's draft picks and the Raptors got one now.
Right.
And, you know, maybe they could package it with, like, I don't know, Damari Carroll and a prospect, because that would have to match up in terms of salary.
Okay.
But I think fully committing to this, loading up on wing guys or playing this new blend of threes that are actually not fours but they're playing four, like, I think that might be an option that the Raptors have to go. And, of course, adding more shooters, man, all over the place. Like, that would be obvious areas of need, but
mm-hmm,
I think that'd be something. The only problem is that, man, Lowry and Ibaka have the same agent.
Right. Trying to make those negotiations wink-wink contract deals.
Right.
I want the max. If I'm not getting the max, you know, I might not sign with Ibaka. Yeah, see, if you're the agent,
I know, man.
If you want to be despicable as an agent, I'm not getting the max with Kyle Lowry. All right, me and Lowry and Ibaka are signing elsewhere. You see what
Yeah, no, I understand it. That's what's scary about it. Is, I mean, keep in mind, his agent negotiated Mozgov's deal last year.
that's such a great deal.
He is not,
like,
getting cheated.
If you're Mozgov, like, he just got set by your agent, eh? Like, that's a great. His agent probably got, like, an extra percentage for something like that. Just, like a gratitude type of thing. Like, man, you set me up. Thank you.
What's more frustrating about that deal that he negotiated is it screws up the market, because now you got guys like Ian Mahimi, Timofey Mozgov, making a little bit more or a little bit less than Jonas Valanciunas.
Right.
So what the hell is JV actually worth?
Remember when they signed him to that deal? Like, what was
great
it,
on the surface.
2 years ago, I was like, man, they locked up JV. He's a performer in the postseason. He's just going to get better and better. And now we're here. We're here. And he's like, we're just like, can we get a draft pick maybe? Or like a wing guy?
Will you take the salary, please?
Yeah. Please? It's not even the salary. The salary isn't really the big deal. It's just like, I need a different center. They just need a different center completely. Like, it's just not.
He needs to somehow evolve into a Jokic type player, which isn't happening.
But Jokic is not even a good defensive player.
He's actually. I know, but you know what? I can live with that if he's willing to put in the offense like that.
Okay.
The Jokic
can shoot the three, though. Jokic is like a massive, like, he's an offensive mastermind. Like, he has the passing, yeah, 3-point shooting, and the post, everything.
I know it's not happening with JV, but that's the only way big men like him are going to survive now, in my opinion.
Hit the three, baby.
Look at guys like LaMarcus Aldridge, even.
Oh, LaMarcus Aldridge,
this guy was
Aldridge,
one of the
yeah
best pick-and-pop players in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's happening this year, but his decline is real. And you look at that and you go, okay, so big men obviously don't age as well as guards. Even more reason to worry about JV's contract. I know he's young, but man, like the shooting is not just going to come with his age. If anything, it's going to get worse.
It could go either way, really. But I'm not really satisfied with something like that. It could go either way. Because then if he becomes like a three-point shooter or some semblance of a three-point shooter, then he's just kind of like he's just like a better version of, he's like rich man Spencer Hawes.
Oh my god.
That's pretty much it. Like, he's a rich man Spencer Hawes. So.
Oh boy.
Yep. That's where we are as a franchise, guys. Rich man Spencer Hawes.
There's a lot of questions this offseason. Tons. It's going to make it really fun to go through and like cover. But right now it's extremely frustrating because there's a ton of uncertainty around this team. Down 3-0 to the Cavs. Nobody expected this.
Yeah, some people did. Some people were like, yeah, you know.
Bring them forth.
They don't live in Canada. Those people don't live in Canada. But they're
okay, let me rephrase that then. Anybody who has watched a lot of NBA this year did not expect this.
Yes, yeah.
If they did, they're full of shit. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, this was going to be like a, if we're being 100% honest, it was going to be like a 5-6 game, or maybe 7, if like, you know, some like DeMar DeRozan or like Lowry went for like 50 in a game or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if it was a 5-game series, I thought they would have been closer games.
Yeah, this, man. The games are just like, they're just stomps, which doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't, they shouldn't just be demolished like this in every game.
They're not like, even close.
The disparity's not that big in skill, dude. Like, or at least I don't think it is. Like, there's LeBron, but like everybody, like the disparity between like DeMar DeRozan and Kyrie Irving isn't that great. I don't think it's that great. And like Kyle Lowry and Love, I don't think the disparity between skill is that great. And then like Channing Frye is in like an amazing player. Like, he's a shooter, great, right? Corey Joseph, like, this just, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, there's more lower, like the high end talent, obviously it's the Cavs, but like beneath that, like the others, like the pieces, it's all, the Raptors have better pieces than the Cavs do. This doesn't make any sense.
That's what's so frustrating.
Oh man, this reminds, you know what this reminds me of? That Hawks series when the Hawks won like 60 games and then the Cavs just like dismantled them.
That's a really good comp, actually, now that you mention it. And we saw how the Hawks turned out after that.
Oh, Damari Carroll was on that team too.
I'm just saying.
Oh man, oh, this is it, isn't it? This is the dark timeline, man. Probably the darkest timeline.
This is the darkest. Like, you're gonna hear things this offseason about a tank for RJ Barrett. And for those of you who don't know who RJ Barrett is, Rome Barrett Jr., go look him up. You might be on the whole, you know what, let's tank for this kid train. He's Canadian. He's from Mississauga. His dad is a Canada basketball legend. Mm-hmm. Actually runs a program. Go look him up.
Yeah.
Go look him up.
All right, man.
Not encouraging you to tank, but, you know, I'm just saying, look him up.
See the tank. You're on board. Team youth movement.
Well, here, when does LeBron slow down? That's the real question in the East.
Probably
because we're not getting a superstar, man. Then, like, when does he slow down?
Like, year after next? Because LeBron's, what, 31 now? So, 33? I can't imagine LeBron doing such a grand things at the age 33. I'm actually Googling his age right now, but I'm pretty sure he's 31 right now. LeBron's 32 right now. So, at 34, right, can't imagine him just, like, wrecking the league like that. It's not possible. Not feasible. Right?
I don't know. Maybe not right? The regular season, but I feel like he can take those extendo vacations.
Oh, man.
And, you know, casually stroll in the postseason, 35, 36.
Right.
What? Not in a sense where he can dominate the game like he is now, but still have a huge impact.
Like 25, 5-5 or something like that?
25. If he's doing that, they're still running through the East.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. What a beast LeBron is. Like, just to be honest, like, LeBron is just like, from like his play to just like his body, man is just a monster in a good way. but he's still just a monster.
He's going to pass Jordan in points this year for playoff points. So yeah. I don't know. For those of you that are statistic heavy, and I know, don't worry. I know Jordan never lost the finals. That was an MVP.
Yeah,
I know
he lost so many times in like the first and second rounds.
Don't mention that to Mark.
What about those?
The 90s fans are going to grill you for that. And the Jordan lovers, they're going to come at you hard.
I swear they never forget that. It's like, oh, he never lost in the finals. But like, yeah, the second round, though. The second and third round, what about those?
Couldn't beat the Celtics or Pistons for a long time. Look, there's a lot of similarities and parallels between LeBron and Jordan. I think when LeBron retires, we'll start having that conversation a lot more. And it'll be taken a lot more seriously because people are going to really look back and be like, LeBron, holy the only shit, thing, did this guy do everything?
The only thing that he's missing is like that Defensive Player of the Year award. And he wanted that when he was in Miami. But yeah.
Anyways.
You know what? If he was doing the same things in that year, I think it was 2011, 2012. If he was doing the same things in that year now, like defensively, where he was actually like kind of like Draymond Green, and he was like stuffing Tiago Splitter at the rim, I think he would have been actually. I think he would have actually won it. Like I think they're just smarter about what defense is now that he probably would have won the Defensive Player of the Year.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. I'd agree with that. All right. On that note, we'll see you guys after Sunday's game when hopefully we're talking about what's going to happen in Game 5, the inevitable defeat. And hopefully it's not a sweep. But until then, guys, thanks for listening. As always, you can follow us on iTunes or SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. You can follow our Facebook or Twitter at Tip of the Tower as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris O'Kranitz. You can follow DeMar on Twitter at DeMar J. Grant. Have a cold one tonight, guys. I don't know, man. I got nothing good to say.
Yeah, TGIF. I don't know. Go outside. Enjoy your friends. Have a drink.
It's 10:15 as of ending this, so, you know, the night is young.
The night is young. All right, later, guys.
You got 3.5 hours of last call. Take care, guys.